Be seated. Good morning, everyone. Today we are talking a little bit about wisdom, but before we do that, it is Memorial Day weekend, and as we're gathered here together today to worship God freely in our nation, I just wanted us to take just a quick moment of silence to remember all those who have served our country and given their lives so that we can enjoy the freedom that we have today. So let's just take a moment, brief moment of silence. Indeed, it is a great joy and privilege that we have to be able to be gathered together in freedom to study the Word of God, to worship together. And I could never really understand what it would be like to be on the front lines. I know there are some of us here who have served in the military and know that full well. But what an awesome picture, even of the gospel, of Christ who said there's no greater love than to lay down your life for the brothers, for your brother. And so as we're gathered together, I hope that we can always have this kind of perspective where we're always thankful to God. We're always thankful for those who serve in different capacities. Today we're going to continue on as we study through the book of James together. Now remember again that this letter written to the dispersed Jewish Christians was written by the brother of Jesus, James. So not James, son of Zebedee, which was one of the original 12 disciples, but James, the brother of Jesus. And so he writes this letter to the Jewish Christians who are scattered outside of Jerusalem. Remember last week when I preached on the first few verses of chapter 1, remember that God was telling us to expect trials in our lives. He's saying not if you have hardship, but when you have hardship. Remember that difficult imperative that he gave to us to count it all joy. And so James is going to continue on with that reality that we can count even difficulty and hardship and persecution as joy when we know who God is and when he's at the center of our lives, when our faith is actually being applied actively into our daily living, into our thinking, into our speaking, into our doing. Then we have something as believers of Jesus Christ that is not possible in the world. Because God has given it to us by his grace, through the power of his Holy Spirit, through the supernatural that only he can give to us. And so what James is going to continue to do here, he's going to kind of expound upon this idea of going through hardship as a believer and what is required for us to actually get through those times, not falling away from God, not giving up the faith, if you will, but instead growing stronger, more steadfast in our faith and our understanding of who God is. And so in order to navigate through the life that we have, all of us here, whether we're younger or older, we have faced already some kinds of trials in our lives. And what God wants to tell us through the book of James today is that he wants to encourage us to ask for the wisdom from God to get through difficulties in life. Whether it's a small hardship or the most grave situation you've ever been in, God is still constant. He's still the same. He is still the one who's willing and able to give us what we need to get through those times. Let's go ahead and look at James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 8 together. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And this is the word of God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, would you give us as a church, but as believers of Jesus Christ, the wisdom that is needed in this world. Your wisdom, not worldly wisdom, your wisdom to be able to live our lives faithfully and obediently in a way that honors you and glorifies you. And just as we sang in the songs this morning, ways to honor you before others and to be a shining light, like a city on a hill where people would see how we live and that they would be encouraged to live life differently than this world. That they would see in us a purpose, a joy, a gratitude that can only come from lives that have been touched by the grace of God. So be with us as a church. Be with me as I preach. Be with our congregation as they hear your word. And let it go deep, O Lord, so that there will be fruit as a result. So we thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, context is very important when we are looking through verses or passages in the Bible. And when we look at the book of James, again, there's this connection with the first four verses that we went over last week, and this week in verses 5 through 8. Remember that in verse 4, James actually told us that what God is bringing us through trials is a growth, a perfect and complete, lacking in nothing kind of steadfastness that he is working in our lives. And remember, it is he who began that good work and he who promises to bring it to completion. And so when we become believers of Jesus Christ, it's not just a get out of hell free card and now we just live however we want to, but if there's God in us, the Holy Spirit in us, then there is something working. There's something that's taking effect. And as we live our lives, as we learn to choose God over ourselves, as we learn to obey the Lord in the face of difficulty and hardship and trial, then we grow to know God more deeply. And we change, not by our own hand or by our own power, but as we choose God in that response to his love and his grace, then he, with his hand in us, molds us, shapes us to be more like himself. And he wants us to be more like him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to face the trials of life, not as the world would, but with wisdom that he offers to us. He says it right there. If any lacks wisdom, let him ask God. It's so clear. James is always very direct in what we ought to do. And so how can we have this wisdom from God? There's three things that I'm going to talk about today. First thing we have to do is admit that we actually lack wisdom. Admit that we lack wisdom. Secondly, go to the source of wisdom. If you want wisdom, go to the source, God. Go to the source of wisdom. And the third thing is receive wisdom in faith. So receive it in faith, with belief in who God is. So let's start with that first point. Admit that we lack wisdom. In verse 5, this is what it said. It said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, I hope that there's not any of us here when we read the verse, if any of you lacks wisdom, you stop and you say, well, that's not me, because I'm pretty wise. Because if that's you, that's you, okay? You may need it most if you think that you are so wise that you are not lacking in wisdom. So along with that, maybe I'll ask you the question, have you ever done something that lacked wisdom? Anyone? At some point in your lives? Who here has done a foolish thing before in their lives? You know, I see some hands going up way too willingly, okay? It's not a good thing. You don't want to be too proud, okay? But it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. You know, lacking wisdom really in our lives, it can take place on a small scale to a large scale. You know, I think even things like, you know, being entrusted with a secret perhaps, right? There's a birthday party being planned for one of your good friends and you're entrusted with this secret. Now, wisdom would say, you must do everything at all costs to make sure you don't divulge this information to the person who's supposed to be surprised. Otherwise, well, that'll get rid of the whole purpose of it being a surprise birthday party. Well, if you let your guard down and you talk with your friend too much and too often before the birthday party, then you might let it slip. Even on a small scale like that, what does that show? It shows, well, a lack of wisdom. There's some kind of foolishness in that. So as we talk about wisdom here, then you say, Lord, give me wisdom so this doesn't happen again. Well, is that what the exact kind of wisdom that James is talking about here? Or maybe when it comes to wisdom in this world, at least, we think about, you know, the wise sage or someone who's been through a lot of things in life, and the word guru, right? We even have people who call themselves gurus of different types of topics and themes. And so, you know, they say go to them because they're really wise about these different topics and situations and circumstances. Well, is that the kind of wisdom that James is talking about? Well, again, context is so important. Now, all of us here have been fools at some point, and we kind of joke about it and we laugh about it. But there is a serious lack of wisdom, and it's unfortunate, but within the church, there is a serious lack of wisdom when it comes to what James, in his context, is wanting to speak into our hearts today. You see, the word wisdom here, it isn't an earthly wisdom that he is talking about, because earthly wisdom has to do with our benefit. You hear that? Earthly wisdom has to do with our benefit. You gain wisdom, why? So that you gain wisdom, so that you can have a better life and live your life the way you want to do it. It's for your benefit. The wiser I get, the more I can avoid trouble or figure things out and do this and that. But the wisdom of God, yes, indeed, it will benefit you, but that is not the sole purpose. The wisdom of God is actually to glorify Him. You see, it's not about yourself and you becoming more wise, but the wisdom you receive is actually to say it's all about Him. And that is something that is very different, obviously, than what the world teaches us about wisdom. And in fact, if all we needed was a guru, a bunch of gurus for every different sphere of life, then will we ever even have to go to God? No. God is offering us something that only He can give. Look at what Psalm 111, verse 10 says. Okay, listen, this is what Psalm 111, verse 10 says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, which means knowing, obeying the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. So you see, the wisdom of God is to know Him, to trust Him, to have that relationship be the central point, the focal point where everything else stems out of in your life. And I hope I wasn't being too harsh when I said that the church oftentimes is lacking in this kind of biblical wisdom from God. Because you see many who go through hardship and struggle. And this is not as a judgment, but as a hopeful encouragement that maybe those of us here who are facing difficulty now, is that James, as he says to go to the Lord and ask for wisdom, we know that He will give it to us. He wants us to face the trials of this world, knowing Him more deeply and coming out on the other side with steadfastness that prepares us for future trials, with a growth in our character and understanding of who He is. You see, when we have worldly wisdom, it's so easy to just make it all about us and the situation. How do I get through this? How can I make myself feel better? How can I encourage myself? But when we have wisdom from God, The fear of the Lord, knowing the Lord, obeying the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And as we learn to do that, as we learn to say no oftentimes even to ourselves, but for the sake of obeying him, even when our feelings, our best friends perhaps even, those gurus perhaps are telling us to live this way, when we look at the Bible and we say, well, true wisdom, the wisdom I lack is not all these worldly things, but it's the wisdom that says, I know God in every instance and in every circumstance and in every trial. We have to admit that first. Now, I see a lot of capable people out here. Oftentimes, when we are capable, when we're established, when we are smart, intelligent, when we have, and what the world would say, we have a lot to offer, we have a lot of potential. A lot of times, those are the hardest people to admit that there is a lacking of wisdom in any sense. But all of us, if we humble ourselves, we see there's not one person here who shouldn't be asking God for wisdom each and every day. And it's a wisdom, not of the world, but one that says, give me the wisdom to honor you and glorify you. Now, this becomes a lot harder these days. There's just so many things going on. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we're wrestling with and we're fighting against. There's battles all around to be firm in our faith and say, God, give me the wisdom to stand strong for you in this world. A lot of people, it's within relationships. You know, there's so many times where men and women, young men and women have come up to me and told me that they're interested in starting in a dating relationship. And they say they're already in love or they have strong feelings. And then they tell me, but Pastor Josh, here's this one thing, that they're not a Christian. I'm like, of course, I lovingly want to counsel them and work with them, but my goodness, this is a real battle. I mean, and I don't want to minimize it because loneliness or companionship, these are not bad things. But what the world says is go with someone who makes you feel good about yourself. Go with someone who accepts you for who you are. And if that person's not a Christian, if they're Muslim, if they're a Wiccan, if they're, you know, a witch, atheist, it doesn't matter. As long as they accept you for who you are and you feel that this is right. That's what the world's wisdom would actually teach to us. Why? Because it's still wrapped up in you. But when the Word of God, the wisdom of God, given to us through his word, says you cannot be unequally yoked. It's for a reason. And it actually is for our benefit, but as we choose to obey, even if your feelings are at 100%, to follow the truth of God and say, God, I need your wisdom, means still to follow him and make the choice to choose him even over your strongest desires. Now, that's wisdom that we all need. That's just one small scenario. Well, what is it in your life? What area of your life are you lacking the kind of wisdom that God wants to give to you so that you can obey, so that you can have the right perspective as you move forward? You see, I think that when trials come our way, we shouldn't be asking the question, why me? I've actually heard someone say that about this specific scenario that I'm telling you about. Like, why me? He's the perfect guy. He's just not Christian. And it is a hardship. Again, I never say, come on, that's what you're dealing with? I would never say that. But I would lovingly listen and see what's going on in their heart that's pulling them towards something that they know, and that's why they're bringing it to me in the first place. Almost as if they're looking for some kind of positive affirmation from a pastor, and then they can say, well, the pastor said it's okay. No, no, go before God. He'll give you wisdom. He gives you his word. But not this, why me? Because that's still about you. But what question can we ask when we go to the Lord, when we lack in this kind of biblical, God-given wisdom? We have to learn to go into situations and ask the question, not why me, why is this happening to me, why is this my situation, but rather, God, how can I glorify you in this situation? So we have to flip the idea of even wisdom. Wisdom would say, you see the problem, you attack it, you take care of it. You find out the best way how, and you get it done. Because it's all about you and the problem. But a biblical wisdom, someone with the wisdom of God, will ask instead, God, what can I do to glorify you with how I respond to this issue? Someone who is asking for the wisdom of God because they know that they are lacking will ask the question, God, what are you trying to teach me about your love and your grace and who you are through the situation that I'm in right now? And your life will be radically different when you start admitting that you lack God's wisdom and you start depending on him for the wisdom that he gives through his word and through who he is showing and revealing that. So admit, it's okay. Admit that you lack wisdom. God doesn't judge you for lacking wisdom. He says, no, I want to give you the wisdom to obey. I want to give you the means to go through life and face trials and come out on the other side, not weaker in faith, but emboldened in faith because you understand his love and care for you. The wisdom that James speaks of is the wisdom that helps us to see how God is moving in our lives. And ultimately, we know that it is God alone who can give this kind of wisdom. So go to him. And that's what we're going to talk about in the second point. We must go to the source of wisdom. If we want something, we need to go to the person who can give us that something. If you're looking for a diamond, you're not going to go to, you know, a pearl shop. I don't know. That's a really bad example, right? But you go to the source. You go to the source of wisdom. This is what it says again in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. There are several times in the Bible where it talks about this kind of wisdom and the fact that it is God alone who can give it. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, it says, for the Lord gives wisdom, it's plain and simple, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And so there is this strong connection, this intricate tie between the knowledge and understanding of God and who he is and what true wisdom looks like. So we have to learn to go to God. We got to stop looking elsewhere. We have to stop figuring out every other person to talk to before we actually go to God, his word. Those who know him, those who love him. But ultimately, God, he is the source. You know, one of the biggest industries still to this day in the U.S., and I believe it continues to grow, is this area called the self-help industry. Okay, the self-help industry. It's reported that by the year 2022, the worth in sales of these types of self-help books, will be at $13.2 billion. For self-help. Yes, I said billion. That's, I still don't know what that looks like. Maybe Jeff Bezos would be like, oh, that's nothing. I mean, but $13.2 billion for self-help. Now, wanting to help yourself is not a bad thing. I'm not, again, none of these things is to judge, but it's to point out the reality that people are looking for ways to grow in wisdom. Okay? But there, again, is a godly wisdom that you're not going to find in the 30 Ways to Be Your Best You book, okay? God has a wisdom for us. He's the source of true wisdom that actually impacts your whole being, mental, physical, spiritual, in a way where you can go through, again, hardship, and recognize who God is. And the more you know of who God is, the more you're going to see of who you really are. And you see, there's this kind of that divergence almost, where as you get to know God more, his holiness, you realize just how holy and righteous he is. And as that happens, you actually start seeing just how lacking and sinful and in need that you are. Now, you see, as those lines diverge, it just goes wider and wider. The more you get to know God, the more it reveals about yourself. Now, the awesome thing about our God is that you might think, well, doesn't that just create separation? Well, that's where the cross fills it in. You see, the cross of Christ, what it does is, as we see God's holiness and how holy he is, and as we see how broken and in need we are, though it might seem like that would make us so separate, the cross bears everything in the middle. His grace is sufficient for us. Amen? That's the gospel of God. And that's the wisdom that God can instill in us, remind us. The world has all sorts of tips and tricks to try to get through in life. And they'll pawn it off as wisdom. 30 steps to do this, 10 steps to do this. And whether we realize it or not, whether we admit it or not, every hardship or difficulty in life, it has the opportunity. It gives to us the chance to grow in our relationship with God or to take us away from him. So let's learn together as a church to ask for the wisdom of, go to the source. Ask him for wisdom and strength to obey him and to honor him. That it's not just about you and making yourself better or improving yourself. It's not just a self-help, but it is, what is a God glory decision? What is a God honoring choice? Not what will ameliorate my life, situation, and circumstances, but God, what will bring you the most glory? God, even if my circumstances remain the same and things don't look like they're improving, if that's what it means for me to glorify you, God, right now, I will do it. Even if there's an edict out in the nation that says I have to bow down before an idol, even if it means I'll be thrown into a fiery furnace, I will obey you, because God, that is your wisdom and your strengthening that you give to me. You're the source of wisdom. Show me how to obey in the midst of trials. And not only obey, but to know that you will sustain me, that you will strengthen me to go through it. And you know what? When you learn to do that, and it starts with the small things, being obedient, being humbled, admitting that you lack in wisdom and growing in God's wisdom. When you start doing that, you change. Not because you're doing something great, but because in one sense, real sense, as you humble yourself, you're allowing for God to work in your heart in a way to change the very core of what drives you from yourself, your own desires, to the desires of God, to what ultimately glorifies and honors him. So how do you go to the source? How do you go to the source? Right now, you're here. You're here because you're going to the source of all wisdom. Not me, the Word of God. The God who loves you and cares for you and wants to teach you his wisdom on more than just a Sunday-to-Sunday basis. He has his word for you each and every day of your life. And so let me ask you the question. How many of you have read your Bibles this past week? You don't need to raise your hand. Thank you. I see that. All right, we're not showing off here, all right, man? Come on, Tommy. But praise God. But let's be honest. In the busyness of our lives, especially here in D.C., I know a lot of you guys are working hard each and every day. Well, if you're working for the government, I hear otherwise, but anyway, that's a separate thing. Can we make time? Can we make time to go to the source? My goodness, the source that is, he's there every day, every moment, and we just don't go to him. We're looking for answers, and the source is saying, I'm right here. but I don't want to read the Bible right now. I want to read a bunch of other books about all sorts of other things. I know what the Bible says. Okay, Jesus is the answer, yada, yada. Well, yeah, minus the yada, yada. Jesus is the answer. He's the only one who can do what you're hopeful for in your life. It's him, not him plus self-help books. Again, if you have self-help books, I'm not saying those things are wrong. But don't add to what only Christ can give to you, this wisdom from God. Learn to depend on him. Learn to trust in him. Learn to live for him and obey. Last thing is this. You have to receive this wisdom. You have to ask for it, but you also have to receive this wisdom in faith. And a large part of our lives, it's going to be filled with the testing of our faith. When you go through hardship in life, your faith in God, not just, well, am I a Christian or not, but your relationship with God is tested when you face real trials in your life. Again, when things are going very well, it's, oh, I love God. Yeah, I know he loves me because look, he's providing, he has all the. But what about when everything's taken away from you? Can you honestly still say that? I hope that you can. Because that hasn't changed anything about who God is in your life. Our circumstances don't dictate who God is. The source, God, who gives it to us his word, shows us that he is constant in his love and his affection and his care for us. So we have to believe in who he is. Now, it's a little bit of an interesting thing when you look at verse 6. It says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Now, this sounds very familiar because, well, if you've read in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 21, verse 22, it says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it if you have faith. Now, there are some pastors who might take this verse and still make it about earthly wisdom. Okay, did you guys hear that? There are people who can take verses of the Bible and still make it about worldly wisdom. Now, let me tell you how that is. Because these verses, when you look at it, can end up, if someone teaches it or tweaks it in the way that they ought to, that perverts these verses, would make it about you. If you just have enough faith, then you will receive. If you just cast out all the doubt in your heart, then you will get what you want. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. But here is the thing. It's not about us. Godly wisdom tells us that it is all about him and how to honor and glorify him. And the crazy thing is this, that when we think whatever you ask, what do you think about? I see some people smiling, probably large bundles of money. I don't know what I'm hearing. But what is it that comes up in your mind when the words whatever you ask comes up? You know, there's a funny story. A man rubs a lamp that he finds, and a genie pops out, and he says, I can grant you 3 wishes. And then he says, the guy says, wow, this is amazing. Well, I'd like to have 4 wishes instead of 3. And the genie says, okay, what 3 other wishes do you have remaining? You get it? Come on, we math, right? We math here. But sometimes I feel like we have to go to God in such a way that whatever you ask, you know, the more we come to know God, the more we actually have faith and we are in relationship with God, the whatever you want starts changing. And the whatever you want stops being so much about you, and it starts becoming about God. And that's, I mean, in my life, that's a That is a remarkable, humbling change that only God can do. That whatever you want becomes actually, God, whatever you want of me. Even if it doesn't look like what I wanted in my life, whatever it is that you want of me, that's what I'm going to ask for. I want you guys to be like that. I want to be more like that. That's true wisdom. That's the wisdom of God. You see, when it's all about him, actually it affects us in a way that is so deep and real that only he can do it. So receive his wisdom in faith, knowing that he's working in your life, that he has something for you, that he has the best for you, that he is who he says he is. That's what faith is. That's our faith. It's not in a bunch of rules and stories. No, it's in the person of Christ. So what this verse in 6 through 8 is saying essentially is not that you can never have doubt. You look at someone like Abraham. Look at someone like Abraham and you see him described in the book of Romans. And he says that Abraham did not waver in faith. He was someone who held on to the promises of God. But if you look at the whole scope of Abraham's life, we know that he lacked faith at times, right? We saw that he lacked wisdom. Remember, he had a son before Isaac, Ishmael, and that was his own wisdom. He did, even though God had already promised that you're going to have a son, he wavered in one sense in his faith that God was going to provide what he promised. Then how can Paul say that? Well, he was someone who didn't waver in faith. What I want to say is, if you wrestle with doubt about God's character, that does not mean that you are not truly a Christian. It's not what that means. It's not saying if you've ever had a doubt when you're going through really difficult times and you ask the question, God, do you love me? It does not mean that you're not a Christian. It means that you're asking real questions. But do what we're talking about. Go to the source of wisdom to give you the wisdom that will sustain you and strengthen you in the midst of those times of doubt. And as you do that, I promise you through his word, through his love, through the body of Christ, he will remind you again and again that he is good and he is for you. And he'll prepare you for the next trial ahead. God is so good to us. It's, you know, there's little, like, things that, even in my life, you know, things that I'm not so proud of. Like, one thing that for some reason bothers me is sometimes just clumsiness. Like, if someone is, you know, drinking a soda and they just drop the soda and it just starts spilling everywhere, for some reason in my heart, like, oh, I actually get upset. Okay. Now, Esther and Caleb, who's two, even when Caleb's, you know, when he's eating at the table, you know, sometimes, and he doesn't even do it on purpose. It's not like he's like, hey, Dad, watch this, boom, right? He's just like throwing his cup on the floor. But his sippy cup somehow always ends up on the floor. And it's just water. You know, it's spill-proof, but when it hits the ground that hard, just there's splatter of water. So, gotta get the paper towel, I gotta wipe it up. But I think in the immediate moment, I'm like, I get really upset. Like, oh, gosh, why do you keep dropping that thing? But he's just being clumsy. Right? I mean, he's just being a kid. Well, I think that I'm thankful to God when he sees my lack of wisdom, my clumsiness, if you will. And at times, it's not even just clumsiness, but there's times when we as a people know what we ought to do, but still choose otherwise, isn't there? And the amazing thing about God is he does not get angry. Even in the way that I might get, oh, gosh, God doesn't do that with us. God says, come to me. I'm going to give you wisdom without any reproach. I'm not going to say, hey, I need to give you this wisdom again. You better remember this next time. He says, no, come to me. I love you. I care for you so deeply in a way that I want to give you wisdom each and every time. You see the love of God and his wisdom? Everything is just connected in the person of God. Let's learn to go to the source. Let's admit that we lack wisdom, and when he gives it, and he gives it so freely, let's receive it in faith. Let's be a church that's wise, not the world's wisdom, but in the Lord. Let's pray together. Let's just take one moment to pray. If any of you lacks wisdom, go to God. I know that I lack wisdom. I wish that I was the wisest person that never struggled or went through a hardship. But that's not what wisdom was meant for, to avoid hardship or get ourselves out. What God's wisdom tells us is that his wisdom is so that no matter what we go through, we end up knowing him more deeply and growing in our faith. And he gives us the means to do it. He made it possible through his son, Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for that? That God is a God who lavishes not only his love and his grace, but his wisdom to us? Maybe some of us need to pray a little bit more than others when it comes to this area, but all of us are lacking in wisdom. Can you just pray right now? God, give me the wisdom to know you so deeply that as I go through this life, as the waves try to toss me back and forth with hardship and struggle, give me the wisdom, Lord, to know you and trust in you, to continue to choose you, obey you, even when it's hard. You just pray for that just for a minute, and then I'll close this in prayer. You are so good to us. Give us more of your wisdom, because when you give us more of your wisdom, ultimately what you're doing is giving us more of yourself. And that's what we ultimately want, more of you, Lord. So grant us wisdom, not for our own sake, but so that you would be glorified in our lives. May our lives not be about us, but may it be all about you, our God. That's true wisdom, to see that purpose and to know that purpose and to live that purpose by faith. So help us to do that, oh God. We need your strength. We need you each and every day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.